Present.
Mr. Hunter?
Here.
Mr. Swanger?
Here.
Mr. Hall's present.
Okay, you can all stand. Mr. Clark, I'd like you to lead us in the pledge, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, do any of the board members have anything for the work session?
I've got just a couple items. Cole's board meets Thursday night this week, so can't tell you what the agenda's going to do, although I've got a pretty good idea. Just to bring everybody current on what we are doing, some changes that are taking place in the carpentry program. Numbers in that program have been down for quite a number of years, yet the number of jobs that are out there that are available are much greater than what we're turning out. So we have revamped that program into a total construction program or maintenance or whatever you'd like to call it, with the hope of maybe interesting some more kids. And in the two-year program for that area now, we're looking at not just carpentry, but also plumbing, electric, HVAC. And some general maintenance. And it'll be broken up. We're not quite sure yet whether it's going to be on a semester or a 9-week period or what, but hopefully we can get some more kids into this program and get them out there. If any of you have ever tried to get a hold of a plumber or an electrician, two problems. Number one, they're hard to find. And number two, if you do, you probably notice that they don't charge residential rates when they come to your house. Most of them like to work in the commercial area, primarily because it pays better. And if they come to your house, they're going to charge you commercial rates too. So if you don't have a friend who's an electrician and a plumber, make one. Hopefully this program will expand, and I guess what we need to do is get to kids. And on that same idea, one of the things that we've done, our numbers are not increasing. We don't have any more kids this year than what we had last year. They're about the same. So we have looked at trying to get enrollment up, but we have increased our public relations budget by 10%. We've got a lot of word out there as to what's going on, what we're doing, but it's apparently either not getting to the kids or the parents, or the parents don't see the value of one of their children coming out of school not only with a diploma but with employable skills. The other thing, we're still working on the logistics program. The state has a lot of hoops to jump through, and I wish we could respond quicker to job needs in our community. It takes us almost 2 years from the time that we start looking at adding a program at Tolls until we get that program up and running. And most of it comes down to the process of what's the need in the community, and please present this to us and we'll look at it and get back with you in 6 months. And then once they say, okay, go ahead with this, then you're looking at what it is you're gonna teach, curriculum, how you're gonna do it, and so on. And you get back with them again, and they'll tell you either go ahead or not go ahead, and then you've got to implement the program and get the materials and place to teach it and so on. And like I say, it takes us 2 years once we know there's a need in the community to get the program up and running, and we need to be able to respond quicker than that, and I don't know the answer. One answer that we do have, not on the high school level, but on the adult level, we have partnered with Lorain County Community College, and Lorain County already has a logistics program. They will be at Tolls starting in September, and there will be a logistics program on the adult level available this fall. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? I do have a couple of things, well, just one thing really for the work session. I want to have the following people rise when I call their names, please. Bob Butts, Tim Phillips, Kelly Cooley, Rick Blosser, and Mike Dotz. I want to thank you five for stepping up to the plate to try to get nominated to the board and go through the interview process that we had. All excellent interviews. I think we needed the time after the interviews to really go over some of our thoughts that we had written down and whatnot. And I don't know about everybody else, but for me, it was troubling to come up with a decision. But I think I've come up with a decision. Later on in the day, we will have the nominations for that. But I wanted to personally thank you guys once again for stepping up to the plate for the district. And I think you would all make excellent board members. Unfortunately, we can only take one. So I want to thank you for doing that for us. I think that'll be it. Okay. Let's move on to public communication. I see we've got a few people that are on the list. So Karen, do you see me?
Hi, my name is Karen Buscemi. I'm not real good at public speaking, so bear with me here. In March of this year, I applied for the varsity cheer coach position for the 2013-14 football and basketball season. I did this at the request of the majority of the varsity cheerleaders and some of their parents. I applied with experience and a plan that I submitted. My experience is I was a member of my top competition cheer squad, which albeit was quite some time ago, I will give you that, I'm sorry, but more recently I was a youth cheer coach here at Madison Plains in West Jeff for about 9 years. Coached here at the middle school for 2 years and have been an active cheer parent for 16 years. The plan that I provided when I applied for the position, I outlined ideas to reduce the cost of cheerleading for parents. It's a very expensive sport. I addressed ways to promote and progress the MP cheer program from youth all the way up to the varsity cheer level. As well, I shared ideas on how to prepare the squads for competition. This is something that this school used to do and did very well at. I would like to see that come back, whether that be a competition in cheer and tumbling or cheer, tumbling, and stunting. Stunting is something that with the new league they can do. I understand there's a lot of liability and cost involved. I would be happy to research that, share it with everybody, and then find out if that's something that the school would like to support for the cheerleaders. I committed to both football and basketball seasons this year, even though my daughter will graduate in 2014. However, I would be interested in coaching for additional years, as my son will be here through 2017. He's in football and basketball, so I'm gonna be there. I would love to be able to be a coach as well. I ask that the administration and board give the cheerleaders the best candidate that is available to them for that position. Just as you did in forming the committee for your football coach, just as Mr. Mason indicated he was going to look for the best candidate for the wrestling coach position, I would like that same approach to be given to the cheerleading coach position, all of these being varsity level. It is my understanding that the supplemental contract for this will be voted on tonight, and I did not get the recommendation by the superintendent. I would like ask that you all look at the recommendations, look at the people that have applied for this position, and compare experience and plan so that the cheerleaders can have the best coach that is available to them. I have a copy of what I had sent back in March. In my request for consideration, I'd be happy to share that with you. Answer any questions you may have.
I don't have any questions.
I don't have any questions.
Thank you, Karen. I appreciate it. Alice Baker, you're up next.
My name
name is Alice Baker. I live at 13490 Charleston Chillicothe Road. I am here to urge the board to vote no on the second reading of the handbook in regards to the change of school time. I have a petition that people signed, and there's an additional 44 signatures that were left at the Madison County Hospital today. So they are not here. But a lot of parents want to know why there wasn't more communication regarding this. They're concerned about having childcare before and after school now, that they're going to have to figure out something before school hours. I'm part of the impact committee. I admittedly did not attend very many meetings after scheduling, but I do have friends that did attend. It was not brought up to them at that point. So I guess my question is, why wasn't the community asked whether we want this or not? And I understand that you're trying to do it to enhance the education, but other districts have the same school hours that we do and are performing better. So I don't understand if we're doing something wrong currently. If we continue to do something wrong, it doesn't change the outcome. Something needs to change at the top in order to have something else change. And I'm concerned about the athletics after school, what time students are going to be arriving home. There's the cost. I understand that there's not a cost for additional teacher time. However, that leaves 5 minutes before and after school for students to get on the buses, in the hallways, and everything else without having additional contact time for the teachers. So I'm concerned about that. If we're having trouble passing levy, that's going to be an issue later on also. And also, there's a big issue regarding the intermediate lunches. I understand at the last meeting, I listened to the minute, to the audio. And there's 15-minute intervals, is what I understand, with a 45-minute between lunch and recess. Will students be urged to leave before their 30 minutes is up? If they're finished eating, are they going to say, go on, go on, go on? Or are they going to be rushed eating before their 30 minutes is up?
I think that would be a question that Mr. Hall would be able to table, and I don't know how. Are you ready to answer?
That's a promise.
On the lunches?
Yes.
It's our plan to. No student will have less than a half hour of lunch if that needs to be.
So they will only have then 15 minutes for recess.
Possibly.
So if they finish at 20 minutes, and they're just sitting there chatting with their friend, they will not be asked to leave before the 30 minutes is up.
That is the direction or the information they give me.
And when will the tables be cleaned in between?
Laura, you want to jump in? I don't have all that.
There's still two sides of the cafeteria, so they will still be seated on one side of the cafeteria.
Right.
So the other side will be cleaned. And so when the next group comes in, they will sit on the other side.
So essentially, 15 minutes, fourth grade comes in.
15 minutes later.
And they sit and they can eat their full half hour.
Yes.
And then fifth grade sits on the other half.
Yes.
So then while fourth grade leaves, intermittently someone's going to clean in and out?
Yes.
Okay. But they will not be asked to leave before the 30 minutes is up?
No, they will not.
Even if they're just sitting?
Right, because you have 30 minutes to eat your lunch by
state law.
By state law.
Okay.
So they will not be asked to leave. If they're done and they want to go out to recess, then they will go out to recess.
And I would like to share the petition that I have, as like I said, and there are additional pages.
The people on the petition, I take it, are all parents?
All voters.
The district.
They are all voters in the district. Yes, parents, voters.
Okay.
And they're all registered voters. So, is there anything else for today?
Anybody have any other questions for Alice? Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to address the board at this time that didn't sign up? Okay. We'll move on. Can I have a motion on the approval of the minutes?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the minutes of the June 12, 2013 and June 18, 2013 and July 1, 2013 meetings be approved as written.
Second it.
Moved by Don, seconded by Linda. Any discussion? Tim, can you take a vote, please?
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Moreland?
Yes.
Motion carries.
We have a financial report ready?
We do.
Excellent.
We can quickly too and have the board first go to the spending plan. The spending plan, as you know, is the document that provides the board with a monthly update on our projected spending and revenues versus what actually occurred. This is our June 30, which for those people who don't know, June 30 is our fiscal year end. And we always take a look at that a little more closely to see how we ended up the year. We did end up in a very good position, primarily because, let's see if you can see up here, we had projected almost $1.5 million in real estate tax advances to come in June. That number was actually $2.1 million. That is the highest tax advances we've ever received from the county. There's several reasons I know of right off the bat. Delinquencies were low. CAUV increased the revenues which we anticipated. But again, this isn't like new money for us. You're just getting in advance of next year's tax revenues. So I don't want anybody to think, wow, look, we're rich now. That's not the case. I want to be clear about that.
I don't think we can ever think that.
You just got more money than we anticipated in 1 month. That being said, salaries and wages for the year are about $151,000 lower than we had anticipated, which is off by 2%. And purchase services were down $121,000, which is about 6% less. Salaries and wages, just to come in within 2% of what you budget, is pretty good as an estimate. So that's a pretty good situation to be in. And then scrolling on down, due to the advances, we were about 12.5% ahead of what we projected. But if we'd have gotten what I had projected, $1.5 million, we would have been pretty close to being right on. So that's what you want to see. Ending the year with all dollars accounted for, you're about $7.2 million at June 30th. And oftentimes we kind of forget about the numbers over to this side here where we talk about our available operating days. Our goal was 186. We had 186 operating days available revenues. And what that means, again, to remind the board and everybody here, available operating days means if you didn't receive another dollar from any other resource, how many days could the district operate? And we have, like I said, a carryover balance that takes us out 186 days. So when your school year is 185 days long, and we've got just one more month to go before school starts, we're in a pretty good position for the new year. So that being said, let's go back. Show you next the cash flow graph. This gives you a little bit of history. Again, the cash flow graph shows the general fund ending balances graphed over time. And you hear a lot about the bat wing effect in schools. And this is what you see is the bat wing effect. In July, just like now, we receive a lot of money from the county and tax settlements. So you're up here, your ending balances, and then it drops off throughout the course of the year. Your only revenue, main revenue stream throughout the course of the year is your state foundation, which is the other half of our revenue stream. You get to about January and you're starting to feel pretty the pinch, and then lo and behold, February, March, you start getting more settlements from the county, and then in June you get your advances. So that's why you have a bat wing effect. It's not a level playing field when it comes to your revenue stream. Ours for this year, the estimate was the orange line. The 2013 actual is the red line. You can see with that big advance, we ended up in this area instead of being down here. So we have recovered from, if you recall, a couple years ago, we paid for the modules that we're sitting in now and the one at the junior high, which lowered our ending cash balance quite a bit. But we are now back up close to where we were just a few years ago. So that, again, goes through negotiations and all the things we've talked about as far as controlling our budget that manages that for us. That is all I have to go over until you get to the action.
Okay, thank you.
And again, for anybody's knowledge, if you want to know, all these documents are out on our website. Underneath the treasurer's page, anytime you want to go out and take a closer look at what I just put up there, it was difficult to read, you can pull it up in PDF form and look at it yourself. So please feel free to do that.
Mr. Chairman, I move that upon recommendation of the treasurer that we accept financial statements as presented.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Don, seconded by Linda. Discussion? Take a vote, please.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Item number two. I'll make the motion upon recommendation of the treasurer that the board approve the resolution determining to proceed to levy a tax in excess of the 10 mil limitation as presented.
I'll second that.
And this is the second vote that we need to take that for the ballot, or for the levy that we're going to have in November, that is just a renewal. The other two that we've had have been replacements to try to get back to the 2.5 mil tax that has been lowering over time, and its equivalent rate now is 1.2. But what we're doing now is, instead of replacing it to get it back to the 2.5, we're going to just put it on as a renewal at the 1.25 that we're currently getting, so there will be no additional taxes on this levy.
And one thing to point out, the county auditor certification came back on that 2.5 mils voted millage, 1.25 effective, will generate $340,732 for the PI fund. And again, those dollars are only used for permanent improvement purposes and can't be used for operation. Our current valuation is listed there below in the district at $247 million. So that was just more information.
And permanent improvement would be buses, books, iPads.
Correct. Anything
tables, that basically desks.
Useful life of 5 years or more.
Is there any other discussion? Not appearing?
Sure. Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries, and that's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Boone, you're up.
Sir. Following up with the 1.25 permanent improvement, we, during our campaign, November to get the PI placement on, we listed two or three things, or we listed a series of things that we would go toward that use of that PI. Obviously, when it didn't pass, then we have to back up. One of those items were heating and air conditioning in our 4-6 building. But obviously, we don't have any air conditioning, and the heating, it's touch and go whether we can make it another year, whatever. Dave and I have had a couple discussions, and he says, hey, think out of the box. Well, we've been trying to think out of the box, and we've come up with a plan I think will work. It's going to take, we've taken it to the point where the board's going to have to say, yes, we're going to put some more dollars into this and try to get this project done. And what it is basically is, it's units, individual units that are fitted to each of the classrooms that use both, will do both heating and cooling of those classrooms, cafeterias, gyms. And they do this without the use of natural gas, electric. It's all done from heat pumps. So whenever you specify the heat pump, you have to have a system that is, has enough sear to produce heat when it's 10 below zero. And there is such items out there. People using this that swear by it. The courthouse, in Washington Courthouse, the courthouse, I talked to Tony Anderson today. Hey, how's this working for you? They completely did away with their boilers, installed these, took out 25, 30 window air conditioning. He says it's phenomenal. Now, we'll still research a little more if the board wants to go to the next level. And I know at the same time, through the impact, we said, you know, something's got to come if we don't pass this. Well, Tim and I, we've been into the dollar figures as we normally do when we get into these projects. And the propane that we use, we think in 5 or 6 years we'll pay for this just to the saving in propane. Now, we have to run the figures. Once we get the final on this, we'll run the figures and I need the exact payback period. We have some PI dollars in reserve. I think it'd be a good use to use those PI dollars to get that building into shape, so obviously we're going to be there for a while, so it'd be...
How does this system compare with what we have in these new buildings, the modulars that we put up?
It's even more efficient than these. These are have electrical backups on them. These other units has, it pulls it all from the heat pumps.
Okay.
I know it seems crazy, but it's not new technology. It's something they use here a lot.
Now, you said each room will have their separate. So does that mean that each teacher in that room will be able to control that room, whether they want it hot or cold? Or
We discussed that as having a central location site where it can be controlled through computer systems. I can't give you that answer right now because I don't know what direction. They're limited on what they can do with those units.
There's no additional wire or amperage that we need?
That's where we come to, where the architects have to come in and say, okay, you need this much electric, here's what you're going to have to do to get that. And that's why I want the board to get this to that point. We're going to have to get an architect to get all this stuff lined up, and you're talking somewhere in the neighborhood of $20,000 just for them to draw up the plans and say, hey, this will work, it won't work. But I'm at that point, I'm at the stopping point, or I'm at the goal point.
So you don't know yet if our people will be able to do this, or if we'll have to have someone else install it.
No, it has to be.
It has to be installed by someone else.
Right.
So we'll have labor on top of the expense.
You're probably, and don't hold me to this, we just got some rough figures till we get the bottom line. You're probably looking somewhere around $175,000.
How much?
$175,000.
That's better than what I thought it was going to be. I think we need to pursue this. We need to do something to alleviate the...
I'll pass this around. This is what I got today from a company that will head this up. If it wasn't a payback, Dave and the rest of the board, if it wasn't a payback, I would say I would be afraid to do it because of not passing the replacement levy. But 5 or 6 years, we can...
But at the same time, we have to take care of that building because...
All we got.
Yeah. I hated to say it like that. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Sometimes you just got to say it.
Yeah.
You know?
So we need to take care of the building and take care of the kids and the environment in which they learn. So I'm kind of like Dave. You know, I think we need to pursue it.
Well, again, I don't want the public to think that we went out and campaigned for one thing and we're doing something else. Had we gone the other direction, we probably would have done a system centralized, a lot more expensive. This is not a lifetime.
That's my next question.
This is going to get you by sort of like, you know, 5 or 6 years, depends on how well you take care of it. But this, they assure me this will take care of it, and you can take your boilers out. However, I will not take the boilers and the other heating system out for 1 year. But I feel confident that it'll work. And there's a couple schools in Michigan that are using it. Michigan has a lot worse weather than we do. I want to go down to the courthouse and go through that with
how long have they had the system at the courthouse?
They've been in it a year.
They seem pretty happy with it. Haven't had any trouble.
Now I've talked to Tony Anderson, the commissioner. I haven't talked to the people, which I'll do. But I need the board's blessing if you want to go to the next. And obviously it's not going to be in when school starts, but we can get it started.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. I don't either. I think it's more than I'd like to spend, but under the circumstances and not having much other reasonable options, I think this would be.
Well, it covers us for a period of time, and secondly, with a payback. It looks like a really good possibility. Do you think there's a chance that we could have this in for this winter, or?
I'm predicting around November. We'll ask them to work after school hours and weekends. That'll be part of the specs we'll install.
What would you say, Mr. Hall, how old is the heating system that we have now? How old would you say?
Well, the boilers were put in 95.
Yeah. Okay.
The And that's not our problem. The boiler, our problem is the plumbing.
Plumbing, yeah.
That we dig up floors and the thermostats that control heat in each of the classrooms. It just you can't control it.
So that's been there since the school's been
since
built.
The school.
Right.
And the other added thing, I'd sure like to get rid of that 30,000-gallon propane tank down by the baseball field. And we can do that because we will change out even in the central office. All of those will change out with the only thing we'll have is a small tank for heating water, maybe a 1,000-gallon tank.
So actually, you could sell the boilers, and after you feel comfortable with it, we could get those taken out and sell all that stuff too. Not that we're going to make a fortune off of it, but get something back out of it.
I think the board has done a good job. But the 30,000 propane tank, certainly we can recover some of that. So that's the working. So I just as I said, need your blessing.
Sounds like you got it.
Thank you. The next thing under my our improvement plan, Tim and I are going to sort of tag team on this, and our goal here tonight is just to bring the board up to date because we need to go back and finalize this plan and all the administrators go back in the buildings. We want to give you a quick overview of where we are, and we'll come back with some dates where we'll come back with the board and the public and get this process started. And this will be short and sweet. If you have questions, please address them now because we'll get into some of the things that were talked about, Alice, with the time schedule and why this is needed, etc., when we get to that point. When we started this process, we came up with this little slogan off Tim's calendar. Change means movement, and anytime you have movement, like in anything, you have friction. And we're going to expect some friction from, as we have tonight, with changing of the time and so forth and so on. And there's more friction to come, and I want the board to know that when it comes to repositioning people because, for whatever reason, it's not getting done. I want the board to realize that this is why it's being done. And it's not necessarily a call from me, although it ultimately will be, but it comes from the whole ELT and BLT teams that produce this document, this procedure. So they expect frictions. Just a quick history of it. This is pretty much how they occupied us, along with all the other things that the administrators do all year long. We've actually met weekly, almost weekly, to deal with these things before we got the DLT involved with them. And when we got into the campaigning, we said, you know, we have a 10-year plan, financial plan that we planned out, and we've got everything sort of laid out financially, but how can we go back to our voters and say, hey, we need this when our state report card comes out and we're showing, you know, just an average district. But we want to be better than an average district. Financially, we're sound. We want to be sound in academics and extracurricular and everything that we do. So we've got to looking at some OIP models that the state has produced. And the thing with the state, the OIP deals strictly with academics. And we felt like academics, sure, that's why we're here, but academics more than just. We want everyone to be at a level of excellence. We want our bus drivers to know how to react to kids when they get on the bus upset, or when they come into the cafeteria, we want them to be greeted. We want custodians to speak to them. We want buildings to be clean, lights to be changed. This is all of our process that we're working on that we want everyone involved. And when everyone gets involved, we, in excellence in all we do, that's what we expect. The big thing that got us rolling is, if you look at our achievements, we seem to have achievement to a level somewhat, but this progress that we make, we expect kids to do each year, it's just not happening. And this really got us mad and got us rolling with the administrators. Every week we came in and we talked about this. We came in on a Saturday to work on this, to get a handle on why isn't our kids making AYP at a rate as everyone else is doing. So with that, we started visiting other schools, and I told you that earlier, and I'm giving that for the new members, so they'll sort of be updated. Other schools as to how do you guys get that excellent with distinction, because we're doing somewhat the same stuff, or we're doing more than really what you're doing, and we're not getting there. So we came in and we started zeroing in. We even brought the state staff in from OIP and to sit down with our administrators and give us some clues what we're doing. Patel for Kids, we brought Dr. Moore in from Patel for Kids. They just talked to us as to how we get kids to progress, how do we get parents involved, how do we get that yearly progress going with our students. And a lot of things that we're doing was great. They liked them. But the thing we kept getting back to, we were just trying to do too much. You got to zero in, focus in on a goal, two or three goals a year, and do those well, then move to the next. So that's basically our plan. And we went back to the Race to the Top, which had been a very effective group. Karen heads that up. Administrators are on it. Chris is on it. Lori. And we said, hey, administrators sat down. We set up some goals. We actually sat down and listed some goals just out of the air, pulled them down. We said, okay, we're going to bring Race to the Top goals in and see how these things boil out. And ironically, they pretty much matched 100% what the Race to the Top and what the administrators come up with. That's maybe our goals to work on. So from that, the Race to the Top, and Race to the Top will be phased out, by the way. I think this is the last year, right, Karen?
Yes,
this is the last
for
year
the
that
funding.
We'll have funding.
We won't phase out a group, but once this group
completely phases out where that time is, then the next level, this DLT, the BLT, and the teacher-based team will take place. But the bottom line, our program continually pointed to, we've got kids that makes A's and B's, and they can't pass the OAA. We've got kids that get A's in AP classes, but when they go to a high state and they go to college, they have to take remedial classes. So it points to rigor. And in front of you there, we provide you a book that you want to read. And when you're into that book, that rigor, it's not just give me more homework or do an extra page of problems. It's making rigor where kids benefit from it.
It's where
kids buy into what you're trying to get done in that classroom. Because the most important person, as you well know, is that teacher in that classroom. As far as teaching, the most important would be the students. So the last thing up here is, I mentioned to you a couple things. Whenever we make change, whenever we see change that need to be made, we make change based on data, not I think this is best for me, I think this is best for our band or athletic program. We make change based on data that we get input from administrators, we get input from parents that's on that DLT team, BLT team. Then I bring it to the board for consideration. The thing that Alice was talking about on the time change, that is not just something we reached up. We think this needs to be moved up. I get several calls over a year's time. I wish we could start the school day because my kid gets on the bus at 6 o'clock over on Bigger Road. I wish we could move it up. You read research and it tells you the later that kid starts the school day, the better the learning will take place. We talk to our DLT, to teachers, the parents that's on that. They all I'll say that's, we should start at a later time. That wasn't a decision that I made just to make Alice mad or upset. Because Alice and I have a good good relationship. But when we differ, we differ. Then we talk it out and we move on. So with down to that point, and when we started in this process, we needed someone to sort of lead us, someone that's sort of neutral, and that we called on Tim to sort of be the facilitator. Tim has been through some strategic planning at Springboro, and he's kept our nose to the grind.
It's like herding cats.
But as a result,
it gets scratched a lot.
Tim's leadership in this, and he's mutual. He's not. He doesn't have any sides in it, but he kept us on track. You know, we're gonna set a plate. We're gonna set a menu here for people to look at. Here's what: if you teach at Madison Plains, if you work at Madison Plains, if you drive a bus, if you clean our buildings, if you're the superintendent, if you're on the board, here's the menu that we're going to be choosing from. If you don't like it, and what we do, we expect that from everyone. Any questions up to this point? Any concerns? I know we'll give you a full layout. I think it's the 13th. We've got a time on out here. You have everything that we're going to be doing. When you get the calls, at least you'll know where we are. And really, we were supposed to have it at this meeting, but we just didn't get it all. We just didn't get it in the order that we wanted.
Ms. Charlie, you got somebody back there wanted to say something?
Oh, no.
That's why you raised your hand.
Well, understand also that the title funds that we get from the federal government, from the state, this OIEP is reflective in that, and we have to follow the OIP process for the title grants. So it's not just, it's an addition to that.
I've got one other question I want to ask. I want to ask it to these people right here. So you guys were all on that committee?
Yes.
Do you agree with that change in the schedule?
Yes. Yes.
You think it's going to benefit us?
Yes.
In the long run, right?
Yes, and the other thing it does, not just the starting later in the morning, although it's not that much later, it's 20 minutes later.
But overall, we're going to gain about a half hour.
But we're going to gain more instructional time with kids.
And with that as well, what we've also done is be able to create better planning times for teachers to collaborate. Right now, their only common planning time is that 30 minutes at the end of our school day when they're out doing buses and things like that. So they've lost that collaboration time. So by extending that, allowing more one-on-one time with students, we've allowed more collaboration time for our teachers to do what they need to do.
We've
also allowed intervention time for all students, not just those that are special ed or gifted or whatever, but for all students, there's intervention time in the day.
We gained more in from just moving 20 minutes. Than 20 minutes.
And
a lot from that.
Well, this board has always stated that we need more school days, especially Don. What this will do, if you figure it out, if you're going from 180 days to 192, it gives you about 10, 12 more days. And that will pay big dividends in time. And it's not extending the day for the staff, but it's just better utilizing that time within the time that we have the students here. And it's 30 minutes instructional time more per day, 25 to 30 minutes. And that makes a big difference in 186 days.
What's the start and finish time going to be? I didn't hear that clearly.
Our proposed time for next school year, Tim, is 7:50 to 3:10.
7:50 to 3:10.
And presently it's 7:30 to 2:20.
Correct, yeah. So it's 3:10.
For a while, I guess.
I was just in Bexley the other day trying to get through there at 4:30. And as soon as we had to take a team there at 5 o'clock, first time you have to take kids out of school early because you're not going to make it, you've not done anything to help. It's hard all over to do that. And we're in that little league, and everything's starting earlier. I know that I was told that. So that's a big concern of mine that, you know.
And that was a concern that we had. That was a concern that we had all the way through. You know, how about the extracurricular at the end? But we're not really, I'm not trying to be a knucklehead, but we're not graded on how well we do in soccer or football or cheerleading. We're graded on academics, and that has to come first.
But you do have those things.
We do have those things. We'll do the best to accommodate them, but academics has to take a priority in Madison Plains.
Just one more thing to that rigor you were talking about. The kids who go to Ohio State and tend to suffer or go to other schools. How many of those kids did you bring back and ask them why?
To answer your question, I don't know if any has come back and said why.
I mean, if you're looking to see why they struggle and what you want to do to improve, I would assume that you're going to ask those kids who are at these schools to come back and tell you why they might struggle differently or why there's a problem.
Chris, you do a survey, right?
Right.
So we do have that.
We have follow-up surveys that we do to see how the kids are doing in the classes, if they're on track to do a two-year degree or four-year degree. But to actually see if they're taking a full remedial class or if there's a remedial class, you know, we haven't probably addressed that to that best.
So when you talk to a lot of these people, I know you get to talk to a lot of these kids, what do they say?
I think it depends, you know, where they're going to college at. And, you know, what, you know, some kids have found out, if I'm going to a research college, Madison Plains didn't get me ready for a research institution. If I go to a liberal arts college, most of them have been successful in a liberal arts college. So, I mean, my daughter's going to Marshall right now. She's flourishing at Marshall. In fact, I've got three other kids now that want to leave when they go to Madison Plains go to Marshall. But again, I met with one of our valedictorians last year. She says, I switched my major. I just wasn't happy in my major. But she's going to a moderate college. But she originally started in science. She said, you know, science wasn't my cup of tea. I like the college. I'm ready to college, but I'm going to switch my major completely to computer graphics.
Don't you think a lot of the college size has a lot to do with it also, Chris?
For some students, yes.
Yes. For like the number of people in their classes as to what they're taking and whether they have that. Because they come from a small school, so when they get to a large school, it could possibly be a lot harder on them.
The other thing that we have to keep in mind is the changes that are happening in careers, and that those are technically based careers that where job opportunity is, and they're going to have to be able to be successful in those kinds of careers, which takes on more of the research and writing components. That is where those kids are coming back and saying that's where their struggles are. So we really have to keep an eye on what the job market is, and are we preparing our students for the job market that's out there?
Okay, we'll go on to finish. Kind of now to the nuts and bolts portion of the presentation. One thing to remember, this is an overview. You're just getting pieces of it. At the August meeting, you'll get the full improvement plan put in front of you. And again, the reason why we're doing that, we have some other folks we still need to talk to about this plan. We have to go back to the district leadership team, the DLT, present the final version of them. We have to sit down with the administration, present the final version of them before we bring that to the board. We don't want to backpedal. So that's why you're seeing this tonight. And we've got a couple other meetings we'd like to have. Again, the improvement plan came about, just to follow up what Mr. Hall said. This wasn't just something we said, hey, let's just go create an improvement plan. There are data points out there that are saying we do need to improve. We have had a few kids come back and make comments saying they weren't ready, then the data kind of supports they weren't ready, and that's where this generally came from. The slogan, and again, every improvement plan that we've seen has one that needs to be that catchy thing that's out there and everybody sees it. Excellence in All We Do came about from Mr. Hall basically saying, we're going to be excellent with distinction. So that's where it started. But then we said it needs to grow from just academics to everything we do here, so it becomes a philosophy. It's a mindset. The logo, that's in development. Again, for good marketing, you've got to have a good logo, and we are going to have one that goes with this improvement plan. It's not about trying to sell something. You're trying to relay a message to people. When they see this logo, they'll know it's the Madison Plains Improvement Plan. We have two goals within the improvement plan. One is in the area of academic growth, which Mr. Hall just went on about the AYP. And the other one is in environment. This has to do with basically everything that goes into that classroom and everything around it, from teachers to custodians to cleaning schedules, all those types of things go into that. Academic growth, the goal number one, and you all can read, I'm gonna read that to you, but this took some time. And this was revised about 7 different times by my count. Maybe Kim would know because she had to keep re-putting it into the system. But it's a tough goal. It's not easy by any stretch of the imagination. And you will see more of this.
That was calendar year that you had up there. Did you want the school year or?
No, the reason being is most of that value-added data doesn't come in until September.
So you don't know.
So our results
until later.
We don't know at the end of the school year.
And again, you'll get a more in-depth presentation at our actual presentation, and we'll probably have members of the DLT help with those presentations. The environment, you can read that as well. Just talking about everything that supports all learners. That is block scheduling, strategic staffing, cleaning schedules, bus ride times, and just a few of the things that fall underneath what's called administrative initiatives. The administrative initiatives are those pieces that are not going to go through the process of going to the district leadership team, the building leadership teams, and the teacher-based teams. Those are things that they have a higher priority of getting done quickly. So, for example, scheduling, staffing, those are things we have to get done quickly, but we have to set up procedures in place to do them correctly. And those are things that the administration is working on right now. Underneath the goals, you have strategies. In the academic growth goal, there are 7 strategies with 38 action steps right now. So again, this is a meaty plan. It's not a light plan. The environment, we have 6 strategies with 7 action steps under those. And again, this still has to go back to DLT and admin for final approvals to say, yeah, that's good. I mean, they could throw another one on for a while. The timeline, there is an implementation timeline established for each action step. That builds in the accountability within the plan. Mr. Hunter's talked at different times. We've had so many improvement things we've tried to do. Why aren't we improving? This will tell you, if we don't do something, there's a timeline that makes people accountable. And who are the people that are accountable? You have your strategy monitors. And just to tell you how detailed we got, we had probably an hour-long debate on what we were going to call these people. So it's not like we were just throwing things up there. We wanted to make sure everything was labeled correctly, it was in line with the Ohio improvement process, so our plan has some validity to it. There are 14 assigned monitors for those strategies. And their job is going to be to monitor to see how we are progressing against that timeline towards meeting or accomplishing those strategies and meeting those goals. And I think it's up to you, Boone. Okay, the completed task to this point, the DLT, which again is the district leadership team. The district leadership team is made up of administrators, community members,
teachers.
Don't want to forget the teachers. Board member, yep, and a board member.
Dave is on the, take Mike's spot.
And again, just to kind of give you a little idea how the DLT is operated.
That's news.
The way the district leadership team has been operating is, you had a facilitator, that's myself, and that was to keep the meeting moving along on the agenda that we have at hand. Make sure that no one person was dominating the meeting, so everybody had input. I mean, that includes the superintendent. I mean, everybody had one vote, basically. You can put your influence in there any way you wanted, but it was a very democratic process that we used in coming up with these goals and strategies and tasks. Those 6 meetings were all in the evenings, running, what was our time, 6 to 7:30? Yes, and we had a very rigid time taskmaster. And the formation of DLT, the BLT, and TBT. The building leadership teams, we have different groups that worked as leadership teams, because you have the grade level leaders and people like that, but these BLTs will have set agendas, things that they are required to meet and talk about, and that comes from the district leadership team saying, here's our goals and strategies, and you have this strategy you need to deal with in your building. So they'll be talking about those things. And the teacher-based teams are made up strictly of the teachers and the principals discussing ways that they can help the BLT address those issues and get the building running better, I guess. We formulated critical needs. That was one of the first steps we did. We said, okay, we have issues, we've got problems. Let's identify the critical needs of the district. And then we prioritized those. We actually voted on those. Some of us did that correctly. I won't say who did. The strategies, we've developed those, action steps and timelines. And then the first steps, if you're developing those timelines and trying to keep everyone on the same page so we can sort of be responsible for getting things done timely. We did establish a planned timeline. We talked about new school day, and you heard some of the reasons for the new time, the new school day. Within that school day, that allows for intervention, not just the kids having problems, but intervention for a kid that needs to go at a different rate or different level of learning. We've looked at our hiring process for staff, and we have a procedure that we'll share with you that will tell you here's what's going to get the best people come into Madison Plains. Here's going to be the interview. And whenever we have teachers or staff in the red, then we go with a improvement plan. And I can tell you now, we have some improvement plans that's going to take place when they come back to school, because the results wasn't there on our assessments. And that's where I'm telling the board, you're going to hear some friction, you're going to get some friction because it's a little change. But I don't know of any other way to get us to the next level unless we all pull together and work together and have some accountability in educating kids. We continue to look at our discipline program. I think one of our initiatives is to look at a standardized discipline program where the people will know if you do this and here's the repercussion. We're going to look strongly at, especially in the K-8, and I want the board to hear this, we're looking at banding. And what that is simply it's not branding students, but it's putting students as to their level of learning, where you don't have five or six groups within that class. You try to get it down to two to three groups, manageable groups. In other words, we will take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we will put a number on as to the ability of that kid, and that'd be the class that they will go into for that particular class. And the reason for that is, again, it's not putting a label, a brand on a kid. It's cutting down those number of groups that teacher has to deal with within that time period, math, reading, whatever. It keeps students in their learning zone that they don't have to start and stop. All four of the target districts we visited that were excellent with distinction have to do this in some form. But I want you to think about that when, if you have a problem with it, and I can tell you it's not 100% sold with our staff, but on the other hand, I think if they look at it from the standpoint of reducing the number of groups within that class is the key. And when we do professional development, Karen has that already sketched out. It's for a reason. We expect people to be there. We expect people to bring their menu with them, because these are the chunks that we're going to be working with, and it's not an optional thing. You're going to work at Madison Plains. When we do the Common Core and we chunk it out at per grade, we want input from people. We need input from people, teachers, administrators. And the bottom line comes down to the
to the defining rigor again? Read the book and tell me what rigor is. I think we need a lot more of it. And I think as a result of that, Tim, when they come back from the school, they can tell you that, yeah, as a result of that. But I want people sitting here in the board to know that it's not more busy work. That's not rigor to me.
Just thinking.
And on the last page, sort of time this out, as we promised during the school year. Tim mentioned that, you know, we're going to get with the administrators and sort of any new initiative, we're going to be working with the DLT, these critical needs, and we're going to be updating the board. And probably at each board meeting, there'll be someone from the DLT or from the VLT that will talk to the board as to what's going on.
There's a potential for a special board meeting.
Yeah, that's not on my...
That's what we're...
Oh, I'm sorry. And the last one here, the last step is what I talked about somewhat. But we got to get to the community. We got to get our impact, Bob. Talk to them and get them in with us. Go out and preach it. We roll it out to the staff on the 16th, and we'll be ready to go. Now, again, what follow up on what Tim said. We're not doing this because we think everything we do is broken, but we think we can make things better for kids, and that's our goal. Any questions?
When do we know if we're going to need that special meeting on the 13th? Do you want us to set that?
We need to establish it. Yes, we need that meeting on the 13th.
Or around there. It's going to take a whole meeting just to go through the detail,
like all the detailed stuff for that.
Yeah, right. I would like for that to be the sole topic, again, if possible.
Okay, so a special meeting on the Madison Plains Improvement Plan. Is there a conflict with
13th is fine with me.
What day is that?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
You okay, Dave, with that?
Just checking.
Okay.
And our board meets the 20th, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You're correct.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Okay, let's go with the special meeting then on the 13th.
Here or?
I think we can meet here. I think there might be quite a few people that are going
to
be interested in
looking at
it. And time?
We want to go with 7. I think that will be enough time to go through everything. Or should we
say whenever we can get it?
Let's make it the regular time, 7 o'clock, if that's okay with the rest of the board.
It's going to be, what did you say again? I'm sorry.
7
o'clock?
7 o'clock. Okay.
You okay with that?
Yep.
Yeah. And just a little summary, I want to thank all the administrators, certainly the people who are DLT for all. Been a lot of effort going into this. Certainly, I want to thank Tim for sort of steering the ship. Sometimes they don't listen to me. Tim don't listen to me. And the other thing I have with the board on the regular meeting in July, Karen and the administrators will have OAA results, assessment results, and share those with you and update you. Hopefully we'll have our AYP back, maybe not.
We won't have value added until September, so we'll be able to share that during the September board meeting, hopefully those dates are nice.
So does the board want to wait until September to get the full view? Do you want a...
Let's do it twice.
What we have.
See it in August.
Let's do what we've got, get a lot of the plans. I'd like to see the timelines.
The record meeting?
And all that stuff. Do I have a motion for item 1?
I make a motion that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the second and final reading of the following board policies as listed below.
I'll second that.
Motion by Linda, seconded by Dave. Is there discussion? On policy JOR, I have the wrong thing, the revised student records one. There was a section on page 4 for the cost of copies that wasn't listed in that policy. There was just a blank. Do we know what that cost is going to be, or have you guys thought about that cost?
We always charge 5 cents.
5 cents?
For any records.
Okay. We should include that in the policy.
It's hard to put 5 cents because our copy may go up, so it may change, so it's pretty hard to put them.
Well, yeah, but we can revise that if we see the cost.
Put the market rate to do that.
Yeah, you could put market rate, and then that way you wouldn't have to go back and change it again.
The problem you got is, you say, and I don't disagree on that, but the market rate, the law basically says that you can't charge actual cost and your overhead. You can just charge a reasonable cost.
So you reasonably charge them 5 cents?
Right.
Per page of any, okay.
What reasonable usually means is usually what the county courthouse charges, because that's what the judge says is okay. To be quite honest, that's okay. Because that's where you would go if you charged too much.
I've never paid 5 cents for anything in there. It's always a lot more than that.
On the, for the criminal record check policy, GBQ, we had a section for volunteers at the bottom of page 1. What volunteers do we have that have unsupervised access to the students?
We hope not. Okay. That's why we don't ask the volunteers to do that, because we wouldn't have any volunteers. But
right.
we do keep them where they're in the proximity of the teacher.
Okay. That's kind of what I didn't think we did, but when I read that, you know, volunteers who have or will have unsupervised access, and I was like, I don't know if we have that. But I just wanted to clarify on that. And the last one that I have was on the policy JO, again, that was student records. The directory information, which included a lot of general stuff for the students, I didn't quite understand why the place of birth was on there. For some reason, that sticks in my head as something that we didn't necessarily want. I can't remember.
A lot of this language comes from a high school board's canon. It's what they recommend. It's okay. Not our language.
Okay.
Pretty much written verbatim as to what they suggest.
As what they were thinking.
Right.
I'll have to figure out why that bothers me, but I knew when I read that it bothered me a little bit for some reason. I couldn't find it. But if nobody else has a problem with or have any other questions about policies, no other discussions? Okay. Again, it was moved by Linda, seconded by Dave. Can we have a vote, please, Dave?
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Entertain a motion for item 2.
Move upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the second and final reading of the student parent handbook as presented.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there discussion?
Just a couple things I would like to for the board, just point out to the board if I could please. On page 8, again, I want to touch to be sure that the board understands that change and what it means. Any discussion or any concern?
Page 8,
that's, we take Mike out there. That was a correction on that. So.
Right.
Yeah. Page 9. Again, we're talking about starting of the school day. If there needs to be more discussion on that, then we'll try to entertain any of those.
We started at that time a couple of years ago, didn't we? That's what I thought. Did we? That's what I thought. Yeah.
And you guys, we're all in our agreement. This is definitely what we need to do to improve and get to our goal.
I think it's one of many things.
One of many things, yes.
Right.
I have any other?
On page 9 also, go down to the bottom of the page, if you happen to miss that, concerning fees, that language states we may
result in denial of participation in extracurriculars. And I understand that sounds really tough and really cruel, but I also seen the red balance that we have in fees, outstanding fees, that sometime carry from kindergarten through high school. And I know it was a problem years ago when I worked at the school, and it's still a problem. And, you know, I also know that there are people out there and organizations out there that will help a child if they don't have the money to pay those fees. And I think we've made that pretty clear. As far as I know, all the administrators have made that pretty clear. But we've got to do something to nip this in the bud.
Well, it also says that they're willing to make a payment arrangement.
Right, and we've offered that, I'm sure, many times too. But we've got to do something to get, I mean, that's way too much money to be in the red with for, you know, back fees.
And another important point about the fees, and I've made it before, is the $45 is an extremely low fee compared to the cost of the supplies that are being provided.
Sure, sure.
The taxpayers are paying a large part of that.
And we don't charge over, like if we sell a workbook, we sell that workbook for what it cost us. We don't charge over to make money, you know. So I know that we're selling it for what we can, what we have to sell it for. So I know that sounds kind of strict, and I'm sure we're probably going to take some heat for that.
Friction.
Yeah, friction. But I'm sure a lot of friction will be calling our phones. But I think that's something that we've got to start. There again, that's, to me, that's part of the improvement plan. We have to teach these children
responsibility,
and they have to be accountable for their responsibility and actions as well as, you know. So, yes, I agree.
Okay, and on 16, if you look down at the bottom, concerns extracurriculum, page 16. Notice that 1.75 GPA for after the first 9 weeks of this school year coming, it goes to a 2-point.
So if somebody had that 1.75 after the first 9 weeks, then they would be able to get into the extracurriculars and go ahead and do whatever from cheerleading to football, or not football.
Okay,
but
starting the second 9 weeks, it has to be a 2-point participate. Again, as part of that rigor, we're stepping up. And at the same time, I'll remind the board, right now, 1.75, we possibly will not have a boys' soccer team because of eligibility. But I think we're here for, again, academics, and I hate that, because there's 6 or 8 kids that, you know, hopefully we can find another slot for them, football or something else in the fall to participate in. But again, it goes back to friction, guys.
Do you have anything else to?
I got three or four more. Page 26. That pertains to Chris at the high school. You notice the exam policy, that the old exam policy now, it's changed. Where all the kids now are taking end of course assessments, etc. It's, again, that's part of beefing up that rigor. They might have got an A in one of the classes because they brought in a couple boxes of tissue and got a few more points for it. So this will eliminate that.
Now, that semester exam will count towards their grade as well, correct? So if they fail that exam and they've got a good grade up to that point, it could
lower
it, yes.
And what it does is we've got some kids, as Chris would tell us, that plays the system. The last 9 weeks, if they know what they can get, they don't have to do anything. Is that right, Chris?
Right.
Well, I'm sure that's probably why our eligibility was so bad this year. Was because that 9 weeks, they just kind of thought, I've got it, I don't have to do anything else, so I'm not worried about. But they didn't just stop to think that.
But I'm telling you, they were contacted about their eligibility
status. I understand.
All through that, so last 9 weeks.
I understand.
But in 2 years, the park exams, when they kick in, we're going to be dictated to, that this is going to become our policy anyway. We're trying to turn everybody used to that policy as well.
We're just eager to ahead.
Sure.
And on 32, down at the bottom again, the valedictorian, salutatorian, change in that, where the ACT or those things would be taken into consideration.
What page did you say, Ms. Trump?
32. 32. I've got parent release from media distribution.
Page,
parent
page, release from, yeah. Page 30.
Okay, yeah. Mr. Clark, did you think this was a good idea?
The salutatorian, valedictorian.
We have a teacher, our building leadership team. We work that through our building leadership team.
Okay.
Through our department chairs, and then we had some parents, and then we had a student representative as well. So we think it's a viable option.
Good. That'll give them all just a few more minutes to speak at commencement.
Things that I wanted the board to think about a little bit more before you put the final vote on. That's all I have.
Well, not that I'm doing this because Ms. Baker brought it up, but I know I mentioned at the last meeting about the change and the time for the school. Are we going to expect that the buses are going to be running 20 minutes later than what they are, or what kind of schedule?
That's our goal, was to get the later bus route, get it started later, yes.
Okay.
So if it's 6 o'clock, then you're looking at 6:15, hopefully, or 6:20 before we start that route. That depends on the routing, but as a rule, it would be a later time for buses, too. And also, those times were tie up with the St. Pat students we take up. That'll give us time to get up to tolls. It starts around 8:30. So there's two or three variables we have to work in there.
I think either way you said it, you're going to have friction, because some of the early time is going to be good for some and it's going to be bad for some. And it's one of those things where it's just hard to find a happy medium. But if this is what the administrators feel that will be an asset to the improvement plan, then I think we're going to have to.
Well, and I think one of the things that was kind of took me over to the later side was the fact that the grades have been dropping since we had the earlier start time. So hopefully we can see those grades with all that we're doing with the improvement program and with the later time to get everything back up to where we expect it to be. So, but I just wanted to point that out. Is there any other discussion on the handbook? None appearing? Can we take a vote, please?
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Do I have a motion for number 3?
I make a motion upon the recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the hourly rates effective as presented.
I'll second that. Is there any discussion?
I think it's been a while since these rates have been increased, haven't they?
We won't have to sort of keep up to get
substitutes and people here.
We're not in the center of the population. We think it's based on the starting 0 step on the scale. So you got the rates that are at now and what the history was, and it was basically a percentage of what the base was for the regular position. So we kept that about the same. When you move forward, you can see it increase the rates. And we added one sub-mechanic. We added that
we didn't have.
Have one.
Make you aware of that. That's why that one side is blank.
The newest old one was 3 years old, so I think it's good to evaluate those every 2 years. Is there any other discussion? It's been moved by Linda, seconded by myself. Then can you take the roll, please?
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Item 4, academic contracts.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following academic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated agreement for the 2013-2014 school year.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved by Linda, seconded by Don. Is there a discussion?
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board accept with regret the resignation of B. Allen Preston, intervention specialist, effective July 9th, 2013. Mr. Preston served for the district for 1 year.
I'll second that.
Moved by myself, seconded by Don. Discussion? None appearing. Tim?
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board employ Alicia McCafferty, art teacher, on a 1 year contract, step 8, master's degree, effective August 16th, 2013.
Second.
Motion by Don, seconded by Linda. Discussion?
Just like to say that I did a little research into this because of a phone call, and this lady that we have hired not only has excellent recommendations for this position, but also 11 years experience. I think the committee did a fine job checking out our candidates and picking somebody that's going to be good for our kids.
She lives in the district also.
Are you as good as they say?
I kept looking, I said, I know.
Is there any other discussion?
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Congratulations.
So, Lisa, you want to say anything?
I'm excited to be here. Very excited.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
The next item?
I'll make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board employ Amy Kistler. Is that how you pronounce it? Language arts math teacher on a 1 year contract, step 0, MA, effective August 16th, 2013, pending new BCI and FBI background checks.
I'll second.
Motion by Linda, seconded by Dave. Is there discussion? Tim?
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Next item, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board employ Herbert Bowser, custodian 2, step 0, on a 255-day contract, effective July 8th.
I'll second that.
Motion by Don, seconded by Dave. Is there a discussion? Tim, please.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve a contract not to exceed $15,000 between Michelle Vroom, eSchool View Consulting, and the Madison Plains Local Schools for the purpose of improving district communication. The contract will be reviewed yearly for continuance. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved by myself, seconded by Don. Is there discussion? She was helping us with the MPAC group, with the Talon News stuff.
She worked with principals on the monthly newsletters, community, twice a year community newsletters. Whenever we want her to, whenever we need to get things out to the community, she's first in line to set it up for us.
So I got to ask you, Mr. Alger, you had a chance to sit down and talk to her and tell her some of the responses we've gotten from the community? But they still
she's
don't feel
been to some of those meetings where she's heard that. But here again, I don't think there's the people that make those statements. She can show you evidence where she has. We have put things out in the community. And if the board would like, I'll bring in what she's done.
Well, I know what she's done. I was just wondering if she's got any other ideas to try to improve that.
She's always looking for. And she doesn't get mad when she hears that. The first thing she says is, how can we do it different? And
one thing that's in the works right now, Dave, is revamping of our website. That's going to be next. You'll see that being redone again. Because of some of the messages we've heard from people about, well, I can't find when the meetings are and things like that. So okay. It's happening now. I think it's dollars well spent.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Moorlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve 10 extended days for Nate Barrier, effective July 17th, 2013.
I'll second that.
Motion by Linda, seconded by Don. What's up, Nate?
Nate's the technology person that programs and inputs in iPads, new iPads coming in, formatting them.
I couldn't remember.
We probably have to move in on month on the day because the more iPads we get in, the more service they need. So it's just a matter of time to get taken to this.
Is there any other discussion?
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Moorlock?
Yes.
Motion carries.
The next item. Being that there was a vacancy on the Madison Plains School Board of Education and existed since June 18th, the board must act to nominate and appoint a community member to vacate the seat. The appointment of the member does not require a vote of the board if only one person is nominated. In the event two or more persons are nominated, a vote will be taken. Again, I wanted to recognize our five brave souls that were there: Bob Butts, Tim Phillips, Kelly Cooley, Rick Blosser, and Mike Dotz, for their courage. And well, that's all I'll say. Is there a nomination from the board?
Mr. President, I'd like to nominate Rick Blosser as the next board to fill the seat.
I'll second that.
Okay, so Dave moved, Don seconded. Do we have any other nominations? Well, no other nominations. Rick, I want to congratulate you on getting your position. I don't think this. Do we need a vote on that?
No.
Since nobody else was nominated. So. Elections are coming up in November, so for those of you who didn't get nominated, feel free to run and get on.
Please.
You know, that's good. Rick, congratulations.
Thank you. I just like to say that the board could not have made a bad decision here. I know these people personally, except for Bob, I'm sorry, but the good things I've heard about Bob also, I've dealt with all of these guys personally. You guys could not have made a bad decision. I'm honored to represent the school board and looking forward to it. Thank you.
Excellent. What we do plan on doing is at the beginning of the next meeting, we'll swear you in. You're on the board, but if you want to have some family come and while you're swearing in, pictures and whatnot, you know, we'll give that opportunity at the August 20th meeting.
On the 13th, get him involved in that meeting?
Well, he would already be.
not going to swear him in.
If you don't swear him in until.
At 13th is a special meeting. If you're not going to swear him in until.
I forgot about that.
We can swear him in on the 13th.
Sure, we can do that. We can do that on the 13th.
You can do that.
He's on the board now, so he'll be there on the 13th.
He'll be there on the 13th. Well, let's go ahead and do that on the 13th then. We'll do the swearing in. How's that?
And as Ken said, it was a hard decision because all five of you could very easily fit into this and do this.
You know, it's hard to see where some of those darts landed.
Even though we don't need a vote, we should still probably have it with a motion and a second out there. So I'm going to have Tim go ahead and go through the roll.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr.
Swager?
Swager?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
And Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Motion carries.
We have no executive session for tonight. I don't think so. I don't have anything. Does anybody have anything for executive session? Excellent.
Mr. Chairman.
Hold on. I want to remind folks about the August 13th special meeting that we're going to have going over the Madison Plains improvement process or program. And on August 20th, we'll have another regular meeting right here at 7 o'clock for both of those meetings. Now I'll entertain.
Now, wait a minute. I have a question. We didn't have to vote on anything else tonight as far as miscellaneous information?
Any other questions?
Looking at me like, what?
Yeah. You voted on that last time.
Okay.
This is just the sign.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Okay.
Not a secret. It's voted on the last meeting as Roseanne McCullough.
Yes. Okay. Just wanted to make sure that that was, because I've seen it in here again, and I was like, okay, why? Okay.
Okay.
I move we adjourn.
Don moved that we adjourn. Is there a second?
I'll
second. Moved by Don, seconded by Dave. No discussion. Tim?
Mr. Swager?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries.
8:30. Okay. Thank you all for coming.
Yeah, I'm excited. Are you a family member? Are you a high school?